I know it's winter, but I heard a good story, and I'm already looking forward to spring, and this was about an elementary school teacher who took her class on a short field trip into the woods on a beautiful late spring day. Imagine that. The children enjoyed seeing the animals, the birds, the flowers, the plants, and the trees. And they were fascinated by, of course, the teacher's love for nature as she would carefully describe plants and animals. She also enjoyed using this as an opportunity to teach the children valuable life lessons. So when they came across four plants of different sizes, all kind of growing right close to each other, she decided to stop the class and to look at them more closely. One plant had just sprouted that season. The second was somewhat older and taller. The third was quite large, and then the fourth was a tree as tall as the tallest person in the class. The teacher looked for an energetic youth in the class, and she eyes came upon Kyle, and she asked Kyle if he would come up to where she was and whether he would try pulling the plants out of the ground. Well, Kyle grabbed the first one, and he pulled it out with ease. The second required a little bit more effort to get out of the ground. The third, he had to put all of his effort in before he was finally able to tug it out of the ground. And when he tried to pull out the tree, he was no match for it. No matter how long and hard he tried, he couldn't even get that to budge from the ground. It was so deeply rooted. Now, I don't know exactly the details of the discussion that followed, but the lesson that came to mind when I heard that story was the one drawn out for us in Psalm 1, and I invite you to turn to Psalm 1. Psalm 1, in which we are told the secret of happiness. One of the metaphors or images that the Bible often uses to inspire us to a life worth living is that of a tree. Oops. All right. There we go, in sync. Well, I just want to read for you Psalm 1 this morning. It's actually the first psalm that I ever learned. I was 6 years old. And I was bribed. Yeah, I said, if you learn that psalm, my Sunday school teacher said, I'll give you a dollar. I don't think she realized how competitive I was or how much a dollar meant to me back in those dark ages there. Blessed is the one, in the newer translations, who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates therein day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season. And whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. He is like the chaff that is blown away in the wind. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The particular image of that tree in Psalm 3 is not only of a tree, but a deeply rooted and fruitful tree, to be more specific. Psalm 1, for example, describes the blessed person. Ashar in Hebrew. It has the idea of being one, really fortunate, very happy, somebody that you're kind of envious of. It seemed to have it going so well in their life. That's the idea. In an enviable situation. And they're described as being like a tree that is planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season. On my lunchtime walks, when it's a little warmer, I will often go out to either of the creeks on each side of the tree, but Hoy Creek, close to the church, has a couple of two big trees right by the stream that I often stop by and will take a moment even to pray that I would be like these trees, the image from Psalm 1. Jeremiah chapter 17 is actually very much a parallel, and it describes a person who has put his or her confidence and trust in the Lord as being like a tree planted by the water, and this image here, it sends its shoots out by the stream, and it never fails, Jeremiah says, to bear fruit. The fruitful tree, the kind of tree everyone wants, is like that because of where it is planted and how it is rooted. The psalmist is very clear in the midst of that. And there's also a very big contrast. Psalm 1 contrasts the solid tree-like person with insubstantial chaff that is so light it is blown away in the wind. Jeremiah's point of contrast is of a barren bush in the desert wasteland, which represents those, he says, who trust in mortals, who depend on flesh. That is, maybe on human mental power or on human muscle power or ingenuity. That's what they rely on for their strength, and whose hearts, it says, turn away from the Lord. We see many of that in our day. The tree planted by the water and the bush in the desert. Both of these experience drought. But the tree by the streams of water, the psalmist says and Jeremiah says, sends out its shoots to the stream. And therefore, in times of drought, it continues to produce fruit, even in adversity. We see that, don't we, in the midst of adversity, that people who have rooted themselves in God's word, in God's spirit, are able to bear fruit even in the midst of adversity. I love what Psalm 92, verse 12, spells this out further, speaking of the tremendous faith of the righteous still bearing fruit in old age. This is what Psalm 92, verse 12 says. It says, the righteous will flourish, and here it says, like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Those were the famous big cedars. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. You ever seen people still bearing fruit in old age? That's wonderful. I will never forget. I remember years ago being at a conference, and this was really long ago, because in those days, we didn't get going to a hotel. We still got put up, and people would open up their homes, and they say, oh, you're coming for a conference. Come, we've got room for you to stay. And in this particular occasion, it wasn't Prince George. And it was, then I thought it was an elderly couple because they were in their 80s. Now I think they weren't really that old. But in those days, I thought, you know, and after the conference, it was late in the evening and visiting. I have never forgot that couple, because here was a couple, they were late 80s. And they had vibrancy in their faith. And they were sharing remember them sharing about how they have been praying for their kids many years. And they had verses that they had kind of God had put in their heart and that they prayed. And she said, you know, the last of our five kids, some it took 10 years, some 20, and the last one about 50 years. And that had come, they'd come back to faith in God. Amen. I will never forget that. And he also shared about how with ailments, his wife had been in the hospital. And so, well, got to meet all these other people in the hospital and had begun doing hospital visits even after she got out of the hospital. And how just in the last month, one of the gentlemen in the hospital had come to faith in the midst of sharing. I thought, wow, there's vibrancy. There's bearing fruit, right? Even in old age. And so that image, there's a wonderful image of this tree. And I like to call this tremendous faith. I went online and I found that picture, and I'm actually going to use it as an image. But one of the things that we as a leadership team, as elders, have set as a goal for ourselves in the coming year is a theme of spiritual vibrancy or vitality and vibrancy. And so I like to have, you know, an image to go along with that. And I like this one. I think it's tremendous. And it's a visual reminder, and also along with a theme verse. I chose this one. If they don't like it, they can let me know, but they're not going to see me for a couple months. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Or if you want it even more simply, I like the way the message puts it. Don't burn out. And then this phrase, keep yourselves fueled and aflame. So maybe you like that image instead in the midst of the cold weather. But the point really is the same. And how do we kind of nurture spiritual vibrancy? And I'm just going to make a few points this morning. It's an acronym. How do we get the power flowing in our lives? And I'm going to just kind of walk through. These are things gleaned from some of these verses, and I thought it's a kind of handy reminder on your hand. And, you know, especially the thumb right close to your heart. And I think prayer is really one of the key things. And one of the things that as elders have kind of set out, there's a week of prayer that will be happening in January 21st to 28th. And part of the plan is to have opportunities gathering each day of the week where you can come and to pray together. And many of the small groups will be participating in that. I see that kind of as a prayer boost. But there's also going to be a prayer training day coming in February. And prayer as a ministry of ministering to others. And we do that each Sunday morning at the end of every service. We have an opportunity for people to come and to be prayed for and to pray with someone. And that's a very important ministry. Every Sunday morning, 9:30 to 10 o'clock, we also have pre-service prayer times. Maybe you didn't know that, or maybe you haven't taken advantage of that. Prayer is so important, not only because it's not only communication to God, but it nurtures our dependence upon God and our trust in Him. You know, it's when we know people that we're able to trust them. Or maybe some of them we know, no, they're not that trustworthy. But, you know, it was just reinforced. We were just with our Syrian family and they seeing their new baby daughter, Nabila. It was very exciting. And then playing with the boys. And, you know, they love to stand on the sofa and then jump off it into my arms. You know, but, you know, they don't do that to people they don't know. Right? It's like, I don't know if I can trust that guy. This guy, no, he's caught me every time so far. And when we pray so far. Yes. But God is the one, as we pray, as we talk with God, as we get to know Him. I love the images that are given in Scripture. It says, Enoch, he walked with God. And then it says, and he was no more. That is, he went straight to be with God. But that was the pattern of his life, was walking with God, talking. It says in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, that Jesus often withdrew to lonely or desert places to pray. Maybe you have a spot where it's kind of a quiet place where you can spend time with God. Ephesians 6, verse 18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Well, opening the treasure of the Word. Opening. See, we can have a Bible, but it's no good if it's just closed, right? And I thought the index finger, you know, you use to turn pages. So opening the treasure of the Word and applying it. What I love hearing often from people, and what I will do as well, is you've probably heard me talk about used verses. You know what used verses are? You know, you everything in our day and age, we like new and improved. But used verses are ones that we have used ourselves, and we know that they work. That's exactly it. We know that they work. And when we hear how God has given someone a promise or a challenge, and now their story has been kind of strained, that's been strained through their experience, it takes on new significance. And I know in the midst of adversities in life, there have been verses that have been, I call them like life preservers, that God has kind of thrown out, and you latch onto this promise of God, and it helps to keep you afloat in the midst of loss, in the midst of difficulties. Psalm 1 talks about, blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on it day and night. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't usually read in the dark. In fact, I'm at that stage in life, and if the spotlight wasn't on, it's a little hard to see. We see that in our small group, in our Bible study group sometimes. So we need some backlighting, or you know what? We don't need any light at all if we have a verse or that passage memorized, right? And I remember visiting Renee Nicholson. Renee went home to be with the Lord, I think about 2 years ago now. And visiting her in the hospital, and Renee was in her 90s, and talking about, you know, how do you pass the time? She says, you know, I remember songs and verses. And then she shared some of those. She had meditated on them. She had those with her. She had her Bible, but she had those with her, and I think that's really important, and to make a goal for ourselves. I've set the goal for myself, Psalm 27. That's one that I want to memorize this year, so that I can have it with me day or night. Joshua 1 verse 8 said, keep this book of the law always on your lips. That is, and then it says, meditate on it day and night. Worshiping God. Worshiping God for who he is, so often the psalmist will say that. Great is thy faithfulness, we sang about. The characteristics of God. And also what God has done, who he is, and what he has done. Praise the Lord, Psalm 103 says. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. And there are many that we could go worship, kind of rekindles our faith. When we were away on the island a while ago, we were in a place and they had a fireplace or a wood stove. And you notice that the fire only really glows well when you put the logs on top of one another. When they're separated, one log, doesn't matter how good it's burning, after a while it will just go out, right? And worshiping together, it's like maybe I'm not feeling that on fire with the Lord today. But as I came, you know, as I come together and to hear from one another, the songs, hear God's word, prayers, I get rekindled, right? Reignited. Or maybe I've got a great answer to prayer, or I've been excited about what God has done. And you share that, and that encourages others. And so worshiping God together for who he is and what he has done. And that third leads into, or the fourth, encouraging one another. Encouraging one another in supportive and accountable relationships. Theme verse for this one for me is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. It says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And it says, and let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Don't make up, this knows there's bad habits. But as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more so as you see the day, that is the day of Christ's return, approaching or drawing near. Encouraging one another. We need encouragement, right? Everyone needs encouragement at times in their life. And also the final one, reaching out. Reaching out to others who need Jesus Christ. Reaching out to others who need fellowship. God wants us to be a source of blessing. The thing about a tree that is vibrant and vital, it says that it bears fruit, right? Fruit is this outward extension. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says, we are actually Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And he says, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. One of the things, where areas that I want to grow in more in this coming year is in courage. Growing courage. And courage especially in reaching out and verbally. And that's my encouragement and challenge to you, that you will have tremendous faith.